I think Greg's primary argument seems to be that he's correlating the new covenant with the old covenant. And since babies, infants, were circumcised in the old, then his reasoning should be, or would be, that infants should be baptized in the new. Where's the difference? Let's look at Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 11 again, which he did not respond to. It says, "For finding fault with them," quote from Jeremiah, he said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day which I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord." So we're going to talk about old covenant, new covenant, according to the book of Hebrews. He says, this new covenant is not according to the old covenant. It's different, not the same. It's different. Skip down to verse 11, because he gives some differences. But this is the difference I want to harp on. It says, "They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." What is that verse saying? That verse is saying the difference in the new and the old is that you had old that were children of Israel, God's people, who did not know God because they were circumcised into the family of God, we might say. Okay, so under the Old Testament, they were circumcised as children, and then they needed to be taught later when they got old enough to understand. He says, there's a difference in the new. You don't have to teach anybody in the, we'll call it in the covenant, since that's the term he's using. You don't have to teach anybody because they're not there unless they already know Christ, unless they already know God. So this passage says there's a difference in the old covenant and the new. Greg says they're the same. Greg says this way they're the same is circumcision, infant, baptized, infant. This passage says, well, one specific difference is between the two covenants is exactly what Greg is talking about. Exactly what Greg, in the old, you had to teach people who are already in the family because they became part of the family when they were circumcised, when they're infants. In the new, it's not going to be that way because they can't be in the family until they already know Christ. So there's about two or three differences here, but the one difference that it points out in verse 11 exactly contradicts Greg's main argument in this debate. They're different in the very respect you're talking about, Greg. The very respect you're talking about, they're different. Now let's go to circumcision. That's another problem he has. He jumps from circumcision in the old infant. Therefore, baptism should be done to an infant in the new. But baptism is not New Testament circumcision. Now, sometimes people get confused by Colossians 2 and think that it is. But look at Colossians 2, 11 and 12. Greg, pay attention. Because you seem to think that baptism is New Testament circumcision, but this verse is not saying that, if you look at it carefully. It says, "In whom also you are circumcised with the," it's in red, "circumcision made without hands." Now, is baptism, Jeff, when you baptize somebody, do you use your hands? When you baptize somebody, do you use your hands? This is not talking about baptism. This is a circumcision made without hands. Here's the circumcision of the new. In putting off the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So the circumcision of Christ, the Old Testament, was cutting off of the foreskin. The New Testament circumcision is the cutting off of sins. Does it happen when a person is baptized? Yes. But the baptism is not the circumcision. The circumcision is the cutting off of sins, the forgiveness of sins. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now who is this talking about? Is this talking about infants? No, these people who were baptized are people who were risen through the faith of the operation of God. They had faith in the operation of God. It's not talking about infants. So baptism is not New Testament circumcision. New Testament circumcision, according to Colossians 2, which mentions this, is the forgiveness of sins that occurs at baptism. So that then does away with the parallels that Greg's been making. And then let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15. A couple of points here that I think a couple of mistakes that Greg made. But everybody turn there in your own Bibles. You need to look at this for yourself, the mistakes that Greg's making. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15, it says that Paul's talking here. He says in verse 14, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius." Greg says this shows that Crispus's household was baptized. So he counted, remember his numbers, 6 or 8 New Testament households. But this doesn't say Crispus' household was baptized. It says Crispus was. He's trying to prove this is a household baptism when it doesn't say that. It says Crispus and Gaius were baptized.
So down when you go down to I know not whether I baptized any other in verse 15. Any other would refer to Crispus, Gaius, and the household of Stephanus. That wouldn't be three households and others being households. That's two individuals in a household. Let's say Stephanus had five in his household. That would be seven people. Crispus, Gaius, five in Stephanus' household. I know not where I baptized any other. It wouldn't be other households. It'd be other people other than those seven. Do y'all see that? And then, let me go to my chart number 14. Let's talk about those household baptisms. Greg said, he quoted from some debate by Jeremiah or something like that, who said that households always means children were present. But Greg, you quoted this verse earlier, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, that says, by faith Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So if Jeremiah or whoever was correct, if he said that households always include infants, we know he was incorrect, because Hebrews 11, 7 said that this household was saved and it did not include any infants. It included Noah, his wife, three sons, three daughters. Everybody see that? This household did not include any infants. Now let's look again. Remember, he's tallying up all these households, acting like that is evidence for infant baptism. But we looked at Cornelius. His household was baptized, but verse Acts 10:2 says that he feared God with all his house. That household feared God. The same people that were baptized were the same people who feared God. That can't be an infant, can it? Infants can't fear God. Then we talked about the jailer. He said the jailer's house was baptized. But verse 34 says the jailer's house believed. So it could not have included any infants, unless you think infants can believe. And then he brought up Crispus. He said 1 Corinthians 1 verse 14 and 15 showed that Crispus' household was baptized, but it doesn't say that. It just says Crispus. But just in case it did, Greg, it does mention Crispus' household in Acts 18 verse 8. And it said he believed on the Lord with all his house. So Crispus' household believed. That's not any infants, is it? Infants can't believe. And then Stephanus' household, already mentioned. He mentioned Stephanus, the household of Stephanus in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 15, I believe. Chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, it says Stephanus' house was addicted to the ministry. We all ought to be addicted to the ministry, but infants can't do that. His household was addicted to the ministry. That can't be talking about infants. Isn't that pretty clear? Isn't all of that really conclusive? All of that is really conclusive. All of that proves beyond any shadow of doubt that infant baptism is unscriptural. The question is, are we going to love God enough to accept what the Bible says over what we want or what we think all the truth to be? Because the Bible is clear, crystal clear on this. We just need to accept it. Acts 8, 36 and 37, Philip preached to the eunuch Jesus. The eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That implies that if you don't believe, you can't be baptized. Rules out infants. We've already pointed this out. Teaching must come before baptism. Teach all nations, baptizing them. Matthew 28. Mark 16, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You have to teach someone before you can baptize them scripturally. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Before a person can be scripturally baptized, infant or otherwise, he has to believe and repent. Therefore, that rules out infants also. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Receiving the word means hearing the word, understanding the word, accepting the word, and committing to obey the word. An infant cannot do those things. Therefore, he is not qualified to be baptized. The only ones that are baptized are the ones that receive the word. And then in Acts 2:42, one verse later, it shows that those who were baptized continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. Is that talking about infants? The ones that were baptized continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. That's not talking about infants. We've already been over Acts 8:12. There were multitudes there. If there's multitudes, surely some of them had children, infants. But the only ones baptized were men and women. Acts 8:22-16, baptism is equated with calling on the name of the Lord, asking God to save you, but an infant cannot make that decision to call upon God to save him. That's what being baptized is calling upon the name of the Lord. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism is appeal to God for a good conscience. An infant cannot do that, so he cannot be baptized. Thank you very much. I believe we're going to have a 20-minute question and answer period at this time.